From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. We've got our weekly conversation with Jeffrey Wright coming your way here in a little bit. He is winning our picks by a couple games over Neil, three games over me. We're all doing pretty well as we head into another week of picks. The game's not really that exciting, but picks nonetheless with you today on the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
We have a total of one difference this week.
And I think I kind of almost did that on out of just let's mix it up a little bit. I took State against A&M for the heck of it.
Yeah, that's it.
That was pretty much
I
it.
I thought about that one. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. And you'll get plenty of it with Neil and Jeffrey here in a little bit. They taped that interview before I arrived this morning because AT&T is a wonderful internet company that does great things. So we were an equal opportunity internet blaster on this podcast. I will say that, you know, we've had plenty of Max South, Walter White jokes over the years, and now we move into the realm of AT&T.
This morning with AT&T was not my best moment. That being said, I don't really feel bad about it.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk Oxford Exxon Podcast, brought to you by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Much better customer service than AT&T. You get ribs, you get lunch specials of $4.99. And you get tailgating this weekend. If you need it catered, they hook you up with a couple pounds of pulled pork, a couple slabs of ribs. Plenty of options there for you to take care of your tailgating with the Oxford Exxon. Also, remember, 49-cent wings at the Oxford Crystal on the weekend. So get them for the Grove or get them for NFL Sunday. No matter what, just get them. So that's Oxford Crystal, Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West, and also, again, Clark Ford Studio.
Wings sound so good right now. Like a big just
thing. Even at 8:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that I think about it.
Sure.
Would I want them right this moment? Probably not. Would I want, if you told me I could get order them now and they'd be ready for me at 3 hours from now.
Okay.
I would be so in.
Okay.
We're coming to you from Clark Ford Studio, Clark Ford in Amory. 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. It's just great deals all the time at Clark Ford. Make it even better. Once you get your quote, once you finish your deal, right before you finalize everything, tell Corey, hey, Corey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our podcast, and it's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
Up at the site this morning, we've got Neil's picks. If you want to read about it with the snarky photo cut lines and all those good things, as well as our expert commentary, since we take it incredibly seriously.
we do. So seriously.
Also, Matt Luke video from last night. Matt had a little sense of humor. He said he's the third-string quarterback if they get to it moving into Saturday's game. Also, baseball story up. Ole Miss finished up fall ball last night with the Pizza Bowl. I wrote a story with Mike about how stats have no sample sizes. There's lots of reasons why you shouldn't take those to heart during fall practice. It was not indicative of Ole Miss having a good fall or a bad fall or any type of fall. It was simply saying, no matter if it's good or bad, keep it in context of what it is. That was the whole point of the story. So
it's so funny, man. The people that have the anti-Mike Bianco agenda, they are trigger happy. I mean, they are right there on the hair trigger at all times.
Yeah, his point was that pitchers are only facing half a lineup. So on some days, they might see three starters. They might see six. They might, I mean, no offense to the dudes, but they might face a bunch of dudes that aren't going to play except against ULM on a Tuesday. So it is what it is. Bad baseball program, Neil. Bad baseball
program. I offered to coach it.
You did. For probably a pay cut, too.
It probably would have been a pay cut.
So that's kind of interesting. Mike also talks about how you really don't even get any leadership examples in the fall. Everybody's playing. There's no adversity. It's just – he said, look, of course, good stats are better than bad stats.
Sure.
I'd rather everybody be great, but there's more to it.
It's like spring training in Major League Baseball, right, when the guy's out there in the first weekend of March and he's getting lit up like a Christmas tree, and the manager says, not really worried about it. Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, we told him before the game, hey, just fastballs. No curves, no sliders, throw a few changes. Let's just get the fastball. Let's kind of get your release point. Let's just get warm. Also, the air is super thin. A ball that goes 450 feet in Arizona might only go 380 in Chicago or St. Louis or whatever. It's okay. Now, end of March, people start getting concerned when the
He was kind of laughing. He goes, I'm not real concerned if Ryan Rollison comes in and I have him face eight right-handers in a row. I'm not going to go take him out or change something around. We're just going to go face eight right-handers in a row.
Because it's scripted.
Yeah. It's situational completely.
We're going to go – he's going to throw these 40 pitches, and we're going to go against these hitters. And no matter
what – it's the closest thing college baseball has to spring training or a minor league system where it is just regimented. We're doing this today, and then we're going to stop after we get to that point.
Yeah. So. It's the whole, like, the practice game that Ole Miss and Southern Miss will play on Sunday.
Yeah.
They can – it might be on a – one team might be on a 10-1 run, and they'll be like, hey, okay, all right, you take those guys out. It's all scripted. They're going to sit down and have a plan so that both teams get to look at things that they want to look at. It's on film so that they can then show the film on Monday in practice. All right, remember we talked about this? This is what it looked like.
Yeah, during their first falls on campus, Drew Pomeranz, Lance Lynn, and Ryan Rollison were all banged around to death. It worked out. So,
Lance Lynn about to get a major league payday. I use him because he's a free agent.
Yeah.
His name's popped up in several stories I've read.
Made a hell of a career out of throwing one pitch 85% of the time.
Throws a really hard – and when I say hard, heavy is the better word. Yes.
His spin rate is very high.
Those are very heavy fastball.
Yeah.
And is proven to be pretty durable.
Mm-hmm. Big body has held up well. Of course, he's lost a lot of weight since his time at Ole Miss.
His name has came up, actually. Sahadev Sharma wrote his name in a Cub story yesterday.
You listen when he talks.
If Sahadev says that the Cubs are a player for a certain player, I buy it.
Yeah.
By the way, and I'm gonna write this in 10 thoughts. One player has emerged as my favorite Major League Baseball player, and hear me out. I'm falling in love. No homo. With Bryce Harper, because one of two things is happening, and I respect both. Either he's letting the world know a year out that he really wants to be a Cub, which would make me happy, or he's trolling the hell out of Cubs.
You're okay with that, too.
Which, as much as it hurts my feelings, I admire the skill and art with which he's doing it to the point that I find it entertaining and lovable.
Will you still enjoy it when he puts a jersey on with some birds on a bat here in a year?
Well, no, I'll hate that. That'd be the end of it. I don't think they'll be able to afford him. I mean, no. I think he's a Yankee, a Dodger, a Angel, a Philly.
Yeah.
Huge market. But it's funny. He takes the picture of Wrigley. Loved this place. Goes to a Las Vegas Star. What are they called? The Las Vegas Knights, I think, or something. The hockey team.
Yeah, the Knights.
And they play in the Blackhawks. And he's wearing no Vegas stuff. And then he Instagrams a picture or Snapchats a picture of his dog, saying the dog needs some attention. You know what the dog's name is?
I'm scared to ask.
Wrigley.
He's trolling, right?
I think he's trolling.
He's trolling even if it's a possibility.
I think he's trolling no matter what, and I can't help but just...
But he's from Vegas. He goes to a hockey game playing the Blackhawks and doesn't wear Vegas stuff.
Yes. And always has this little sly look on his face, and I just can't kind of help it.
You might rename your dog in 9 months.
Bryce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I know we're moving on. Even if he's trolling the hell out of me, he's doing it so well that I'm amused.
What else Matt say yesterday?
That's about it. Matt was really good yesterday. I don't know whether it's because he's beginning to relax as this thing nears its conclusion, or if it's just because he feels good about this week, or if it's just because whatever, or maybe he has something lined up for after the season. All of which are possible. I've heard his name attached to a particular job.
Mm-hmm.
said this a minute ago with Jeffrey, so I'll be quick here, so I'm not being overly repetitive. Been really impressed with Matt Luke, the guy. This is a bad situation when you think about it. You inherit a job in late July because the guy in front of you is involved in a scandal. A sex-related scandal. You take over a program in a year when they can't go to the postseason. Coordinators that, I don't know, I'm sure he gets along with them fine. I don't think Matt Luke, when he gets to run his own program one day, I don't think they run the air raid. It's my opinion. I could be wrong. If I am, I am. And that's not a shot at Phil Longo either. Hugh Freeze hired Phil Longo, knowing exactly what Phil Longo did. I just don't think that's what Matt would do. I don't think that's his football philosophy. It's my gut feeling. And yet, through 3 months now, at least with us, he's really been good. He's been very professional. Hasn't lashed out at anyone. There have been two or three times that we've said, oh, this is going to be the lash out press conference. And it's not. And the kids have played hard for him. I don't think he's going to get the job. I think it's in Ole Miss's best interest. I've said this from day one, to go out and do a fresh start. But he has accounted himself, had a really solid accounting for himself. He was funny last night. He was personable. We were making fun of Antonio Morales's. Antonio Morales had a windbreaker on. Mm-hmm. And it was green and silver and had this little insignia of what looked like sort of a werewolf kind of a thing. And I was like, what is that? And he goes, it's the Highlanders. It's my high school or whatever.
Oh.
And so Matt, before you got started, I pointed at, Matt, if I gave you 100 guesses, would you have ever guessed Highlanders? And he's like, no, y'all would have finally stumped me. And after it was over, he walked past Antonio and said, go Highlanders. You know, it's just funny. He's kind of let his guard down a little. I think he realizes that none of us are out to get him, if you will. We all respect the job he's done with us, and maybe it's because we're nearing the end. But there wasn't a lot of news. I asked him, and I was hesitant to ask because it's one of those questions that if a coach is in the wrong mood, he'll jump at you and do the well. If you played football, you'd know, which is obnoxious. But you get that sometimes. And I said, I know you can't coach or play scared. Someone had asked about the backup quarterback.
Yeah,
if you had to go to a third quarterback, who is it? And I thought, at that point, don't we just cancel? We just X out. But I said, I know you can't coach or play scared, but with that in mind, do you have to be careful with Jordan? Maybe with the plays that you call, the things that, because as you pointed out yesterday, I think it was you, he does have a tendency to run.
Mm-hmm.
He feels comfortable running. And running him 30 times, for example, might not be the greatest idea in the world when protecting him is important. And he said, you know, it's something we've talked about. No, you can't coach scared. You can't play scared. But, you know, you can't call a bunch of power runs with the quarterback either. And so, you know, yeah, it is something that's come up. It was something I wondered, will this come up over the course of the week? And he said that it had. So anyway, I thought Jordan Wilkins might play some. Sean Rawlings probably won't. C.J. Moore is questionable. You ask what Arkansas, how do they look on film, and all you ever get is they look different than last year, which is probably code for they don't look very good, and I don't want to say that out loud. About it. I don't. This is one of those games where we all wrote this in picks. Who knows?
Matt, I give him the most credit, because he answers every question, and he goes out of his way to tell you early about injuries. There's no hiding injuries. There's no secrecy. There's no, well, you have to wait and see.
It's an NFL coach mentality after a ball game. First thing they say is injuries.
Yeah, I mean, he opens up his Monday press conference, and in his opening most weeks is, here's where we are from a health standpoint. Now let's move on.
Well, you know, Hugh Freeze used to bristle at midweek injury questions.
He was fine on Monday. On Wednesday, he got annoyed.
Yeah. And all I said was, you said Monday, as relates to Jordan Wilkins, you said Monday you might know by Wednesday. I'm just kind of curious. And was, I think because we're so conditioned to almost like a step back, like, okay, here comes the shot. Right. No, was, you know, he's doing better. I think he's going to be able to play a little. He's going to practice tomorrow. In other words, he hasn't practiced until, although I don't know that for Jordan Wilkins it really matters.
No.
But it just shows you, I mean, but you're first, this is why you have to win, man. You got to be deep. You get to November and we're basically there. I mean, Halloween's Tuesday. You're banged up. You're going to have injuries. It's when people do the WL, WWL, WWW thing before the season.
Yeah, the roster's totally different later on.
And I'm not making fun of it because once the season is over, we will do it 400 times before next year. That being said, it's not really doable. And when you do the, okay, well, they've got these two receivers. Now, if you want to have a real discussion, who are your sixth and seventh receivers? Who's your fourth offensive tackle? Who's your sixth linebacker? Who's your fifth safety? Who's your fourth corner? The teams that can answer those questions pretty emphatically are typically the teams that late in the season are winning games.
Braylon Sanders getting a bigger role lately, by the way. Wide receiver. Freshman.
Yeah, because Markell Pax had no role, really, and Van Jefferson sometimes disappears.
Yeah.
A little bit, frankly.
This air is doing nothing for my cough.
No, you've now had a cough for 2 weeks.
It's been
Campbell woke up sick today, so I'm not going to say anything.
It's mostly though only here. It's, I think it's from just talking this much in this period of time. I really haven't noticed it even running or anything later in the day. It appears to only be happening.
Surprised
here.
Surprised you don't notice it running, because usually if you have a cough and you're out running, in
I
the
feel
cooler.
A little pressure on my left side a little bit from the congestion or whatever it is. But no, I'm not coughing. So
let's not have a heart attack or anything.
Let's not.
Let's
let's chill out.
Yeah. This wouldn't be a great time for you to keel over.
No. All right. Let's see. What do we got before we go to Jeffrey in a second? Props to the Ole Miss softball team, giving the bus driver an SEC championship ring. Thought that was cool yesterday.
It was cool.
Happens a little bit. I think Ole Miss did it for the College World Series in 14 with their guy. But
they got a lot of really good people in that softball program.
Yeah, Mike Smith's a good dude.
Mike Smith's a good dude. His stat, Ruben Felix, is a good dude.
They lost the girl.
She went back to Arizona.
Yeah, I saw that.
She'd played there. And I'm sure that was exciting news for her to be able to go home.
Yeah. Saturday forecast. Going to be a little chilly, guys. I think we're going to have some coldness on Saturday.
It's going to start raining tomorrow around noon and rain almost through the night.
Yeah, it's going to rain through the night tomorrow. The rain's going to stop. The field's probably a little wet, but rain will stop. But high of 50, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah, if you're wearing your high heels into the Grove on Saturday,
it's gonna be a rough day.
Gonna be a long day for you.
Feel for the landscapers on Sunday.
Yeah,
muddy and just.
I would think this probably isn't the craziest Grove weekend. There's two left. 11
o'clock game.
It's the third game in a row.
And it's at 11.
And it's wet.
Yeah.
And it'll be cold. Yeah.
All right, a couple other things. We're gonna go to Jeffrey though in a second. We'll
game
also
time temps, what, 52? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. 50, 52. So, podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. They've got sildenafil. It is the $10 alternative to that $50 or $60 little blue pill, ready in as little as 15 minutes, and same length of effectiveness as the other guys. So, take half, take a quarter, take the entire pill, depending on what's going on that day. 662-252-2321. When you call them, give them your doctor's name. They'll get the prescription ready, and they'll deliver it to you. If you are not local, they make house calls. TysonDrugs.com.
I have downloaded my ad page. I'm learning this.
All you got is a new model of a computer. That is it. It is a new model.
It is.
It is not a new computer. It does do a few funky things different.
It does do some really weird stuff, and I'm having a hard time with it right now.
Neil also thinks he's trapped into a chapter of 1984 where he is being watched by the government right now. So
I'm fairly sure I am.
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
He's upset that his computer knew things before he knew them when he turned it on.
It knew my bank account.
It did. Because you've got the passwords in your cloud.
Yeah. Makes you want to change that password occasionally. Yeah. Podcast and Neil's Picks are brought to you by Vitamin, 3010 Old Taylor Road, in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments next door to LaPel's Dry Cleaning. They've got the cryo sauna. They've got the infrared sauna. Combo packages, all the same IVs and shots as before. Now they have a smoothie bar. It's awesome in there, really. The cryo sauna is cool. You get in there for about 2 minutes. It'll speed up your metabolism. You'll burn a bunch of calories. You'll recover from a workout. Take out some inflammation. All in 2 minutes. It's over quick. Info at vitamin.com, 662-638-3600. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business owner with a high ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, etc., Ben and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders, one very easy online application, rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so give him a call today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or Oxford, 662-281-8800.
Now, Jeffrey Wright on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
All right, Jeffrey. First, it's kind of painful to do this because I hate to pump up your betting ego. If someone was following you and no one but you on Neil's Picks this year, they'd be making money. 36-23 against the spread. You went 5-0 last week against the spread. Chase and I both went 4-1 against the spread. All three of us have winning records. You're 36-23. I'm 34-25, which is not crappy. And Chase is 33-26, which is not crappy either. We've all done pretty well. You have done astoundingly well.
Yeah, well, our records aren't crappy. College football is. So basically, I think we've all kind of been pretty lucky. This kind of reminds me of like the 2011 season where basically I think both of y'all just were raking it in because you had Alabama and LSU and yep. You just bet on them every single week.
Every week.
Then everyone else was so bad that they just were absolutely murdering people. And so you wound up with a pretty good record. It's kind of the same thing this year. Just bet on Alabama and Georgia and just watch it roll in. And then basically, you know, then you just – to me it seems like you just try to identify in a matchup which team's worse and then just bet against them. And you'll lose some clearly, but you'll end up winning more than you'll lose.
In 2011, my philosophy was very simple. Don't even look at the line. Don't look at the points. Just eat them. Bet Alabama, bet LSU, lay whatever you had to lay. And you figure it, you just 9 times out of 10 it would work out. And frankly, 10 times out of 10 it worked out. And then when they played each other, I remember thinking, well, this will be the end of that. And it did kind of go downhill after that, after they played one another. But for the most part, that was – for the first 2 months of the season, I just laid the points with both of those teams, and it worked out. And I write this in one of the picks. I'm looking for it as we speak. I said I've watched the SEC this season. I've noticed a basic trend. Good teams kick the crap out of average ones. And that's what they do.
Yeah,
and then the average ones kill the bad ones.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, that's just – I think what the difficult aspect is, though, is – I don't think the average team deciphers itself from the slightly above average team this year.
Well, I'm of the opinion you have one great team, one really good team. You have a couple of good teams. I mean, Auburn's a good team, not really good. They're just kind of there. LSU's just kind of there. Maybe even A&M is kind of there. And then everybody else is either bad or really bad.
Yeah, I'm still not ready to say, and people can say whatever, stubbornness or whatever. Auburn was up 20-0 on LSU.
Yeah.
LSU, based on the database that I use, LSU was the first unranked team to come back from more than 18 points in a game against a ranked team and win. Like, we talk about fireable offenses. If you're Gus Malzahn, I really don't feel like he took as much criticism as he should have in that game. Because are we really sitting here and talking about LSU if Auburn ends up putting up another two touchdowns and basically runs them out of the building, 34-14?
No, Ed Orgeron should send Gus Malzahn a Christmas present.
I'm with you entirely, like 100%. Like, I do think we overlook when certain coaches, like, we tend to focus on, and I get it, it's part of it, like, we tend to focus on wins more than we do losses. Like, I think, for instance, like, I think Hugh Freeze got more credit for good wins than he did for bad losses and inexcusable losses. But it is kind of that way, like, in college football. Like, we tend to remember, if you had a big-time win versus a coach that truly prevented his team from winning the game.
Well, I'm of the opinion that Gus Malzahn lost his job that day in Baton Rouge, and we'll see it at the end of the year. I think he leaves, which leads me to this question. And I know you've got a lot of stuff to do. We're not going to keep you long. You and I are going to tape a beer garden later today, and maybe we'll delve into this in more detail. Mike Norvell. He's getting a lot of attention as possibly a key target at Ole Miss, a key target at Arkansas, a possible target at Tennessee. His name will come up at Mississippi State if Dan Mullen leaves. Is Mike Norvell that good of a coach, or is Mike Norvell a guy that inherited a really good gig from Justin Fuente and has done a great job of maintaining?
When you answer that question, like, it's twofold for me. A, I do think Mike Norvell is a really good coach. I think when you listen to those that are around him, there's an air of this guy is quote unquote special around him. I don't know if I believe that. I do think that he deserves credit for the games that they're winning this year, because when you build a program at Memphis, let's be real, it's not like you're recruiting, program changers. You're doing it a lot with transfers, with JUCOs, with kids that, you're kind of using scotch tape and whatnot, and you have to piece it all together. And after Paxton Lynch leaves, Norvell's sitting here with a gig. He doesn't really know how good it is. He knows Fuente left him a decent product, but he still had to go get a quarterback. And he's the guy that went and got Riley Ferguson, and, he's making Riley Ferguson look really, really good. My biggest concern with Mike is it's the same concern that I have with a lot of these coaches. Man, the time of possession is a big, 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 big question mark for me. You look at Memphis, and while you're putting up tons and tons of points, that's all well and good. But if you're going to hire him for an SEC job, the minus 8 minutes every single game time of possession is kind of a, I'm going to need to hear a really good answer how you're going to either remedy that situation. Because if your answer is, well, we're just going to score a bunch of points, you and I both know, Neil, that doesn't work. Like, you're eventually in the SEC, those types of offenses that are all based upon, all right, well, we're just trying to get certain matchups and we're going to exploit it and we're going to put up, 45 to 50 points a game. it doesn't work. Eventually, you come up against three teams at the minimum every single year that have better players and better athletes than you are, and your offense looks like dog crap. So I would need an answer for him how you're going to remedy the time of possession issue. If I were a Pac-12 school, like if I'm UCLA, I'm looking at Norvell more so than if I'm Ole Miss, if I'm Arkansas, if I'm Auburn.
It's why I don't like the Chad Morris thing. People think that I'm picking on Chad Morris because of the Sean Tuohy connection, and I'm not. I'm picking on Chad Morris because I don't think that offense translates to this league.
No, I think it's proven. And let's also set the record straight. Ole Miss's offense under Hugh Freeze was not special. In fact, when you look at conference numbers, it was remarkably average, with the exception of a 21-game stretch. And that 21-game stretch had Chad Kelly. And Chad Kelly is probably one of the most accurate downfield throwers I've ever seen. Like, he was remarkable at throwing the ball downfield, and it masked a lot of that offense's weaknesses. And just because you're putting up 70-something on UT Martin, that doesn't excuse the fact that you go to Arkansas and get completely shut out. You know, you go to LSU with a top four team and you put up 7 points. Like, that offense is...
It doesn't work against really good defenses that have good linebackers. It does not work.
It doesn't work when you don't have a talent advantage. And you're week in, week out, you're just not going to have the talent advantage. And then on top of that, if you don't have Chad Kelly, it doesn't look great. I mean, we saw it with the truth is, at this point, Bo Wallace was more productive in that offense than Shea Patterson. And Shea Patterson's a billion times more talented. So I just – the people that – the defense of that offense is mind-blowing to me.
I'm with you. I mean, we'll get into this in the beer garden. I'll leave it at this. Alabama's winning a certain way. Georgia's winning the same way. And nobody else is winning. It's talent. If you want to beat that talent, you have to have special talent at key spots on the field, period. Gimmicks won't beat talent. Talent beats talent.
Yes. That's,
if gimmicks beat talent, knuckleballers would be everywhere in baseball.
Yes.
Gimmicks don't beat talent. Talent beats talent. Now, you can't – people go, well, you can't match up talent against Alabama, against Georgia. I'm not saying that. You can't line up and run right at their talent. That won't work. But you have to have elite players at quarterback, at left tackle, playmakers at receiver, pass rushers, defensive backs who are solid. That gives you a chance. Period.
Yes. I mean, you look at the formula. It's not rocket science. Texas A&M didn't have elite talent player for player with Alabama. But they did have an elite quarterback, and they've got a guy that can't be covered right now in the NFL. Guess what they did? They threw it deep. Ole Miss had Chad Kelly, goes into Tuscaloosa and throws it deep. Like, congratulations. And then the one year that is somewhat of an anomaly is the 2014 win, because Ole Miss more or less just lined up and played football. And now they did have an elite defensive lineman that could take triple teams, which I'm sure they'd like to have right now. And the second half, they picked on a secondary that was certainly suspect, particularly in Collins. And they end up making one more play. And then they had a defense that turned the ball over. So, you know, people make too much of it, but I get it. That's what frustration and stuff does. But I do think people have a tendency to lose perspective just because of that.
All right, we'll run through the picks real quick. There's not a lot of differences. In fact, if I'm reading it correctly, we have a total of one difference over the course of the week. Arkansas getting 3.5 at Ole Miss. We all have Ole Miss winning and covering the line. I've got them by 7. Chase has them by 8. You've got them by 6. So we're all picking the same game.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you look at whatever the Cajun Ryan Mallett kid's name is, like, he's awful. And I mean, just he is like breathtakingly awful.
Yeah,
he
and I have no idea what to expect. Yeah, no idea what to expect from Jordan Tamu in his first start. I know he looked good in a quick little second, a first half drive, and he looked good in mop up. He did, but what does that translate? I have no idea. We'll see. I have no clue. If you're betting this game, you either know something or you're just betting because you like to bet.
Or, you know, I mean, you're taking the idea that, you know, really, I guess Arkansas looked okay against Texas A&M, but really what you're betting against is at no point has Arkansas looked really better than decent at any point this year, and Ole Miss has at least had a couple of bright spots. So you're thinking, yeah, okay, that's what you're betting on. Not really a great way to go. The one thing that is interesting is, like, okay, Jordan Tamanu, like, you sit there and you wonder, did the fact that he was just kind of thrust into action, like, that is the one question I had. The fact that he was just thrust into action and it was like, okay, now he just gets to go and read and react and he gets to just play. I wonder, is that going to be different than the fact that you know all week that you're going to be the starting quarterback in an SEC game?
We take a break in our talk with Jeffrey Wright to tell you part of the podcast brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. Been telling you all year about all the things they will do to help out your yard, but even in the winter, they can help you out as well. If you got leaves coming down, they can take care of those. They build patios, they build decks, they help you out with all sorts of landscaping, and they do holiday lighting for the holiday season. 662-607-7773. Or mastercutslawn.com. And when you sign an annual contract, first cut is on them when you mention the podcast.
The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better. If you're coming up this weekend, get in touch with Harry. If you've been thinking about getting that second home, getting that condo for football weekends, some people tell you now's not a good time. I think the numbers tell you it is a good time. It's a really good time. Maybe a historically good time. Get in touch with Harry and learn more. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They've got a complete selection of new, previously owned Nissan vehicles. Everything you're looking for, if it's a Nissan, they've got it at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows State Farm to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. If you do, you won't be sorry. Need more proof? Go to Google and read Romero Miller State Farm reviews. Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. Now back to our interview with Jeffrey Wright on the Oxford Exxon podcast. Oh, I think it is different. I mean, he might handle it with aplomb, and he might really struggle. Neither would surprise me. There's no way to know. Georgia.
No, and it is a perfect game to have your first start against.
It is. It is. It's a perfect game for a first start, especially if you had to play a league team. Georgia versus Florida. Georgia giving 14 in Jacksonville. We've all got Georgia winning. We all have Georgia covering. I've got Georgia by 18. Parham has Georgia by 18. You have Georgia by 17. I swear to people, we do not compare. We just pick, and we're all picking the same game.
No, I mean, you send us the lines, we all write, and then Chase puts it in the system, and I email them to you. So, to me, can we quickly discuss how weird it is that Jim McElwain says he received death threats, and then he says the authorities contacted him, and then he said he didn't have any additional details to provide?
He shouldn't have brought it up. It's either not true.
Right.
Or it was deemed not credible. Because let's face it, if you get a credible death threat, it's a big deal. And you're down on a sideline. You're a public figure. People see you. You there's a reason that these the police walk around with football coaches. It's because just in case there's one freak show nut job. That's why. So if you get a credible death threat, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's not a good look. McElwain is not happy there. I wrote this weeks ago. I buried it by accident in 10 Weekend Thoughts. He wants out. They probably want him out. Money's an issue for everyone. It's why I'll say this as we get into coaching search season. When people treat buyout numbers like hard, firm numbers, you're being naive. By the end of these relationships, both parties want out, and typically they're not going to end up fighting over who gets the living room sofa. Someone in the relationship is just going to say, take it. I don't care. I just want out.
Oh, completely agree. It's like, for me, it's like more or less everything in life is negotiable.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, at some point you have a price, and at a certain point everything is a cost-benefit analysis. You have a price, and then you have a determining number. It's like, okay, that is worth me not being miserable.
I'll give you an example. Oregon State says, we want Jim McElwain. Florida is not going to say, well, he's got a buyout.
Right.
They're going to say, okay, take him. We'll shake hands. We'll all say nice things about one another. Move on. No one at Florida is going to make Jim McElwain stay based on $7 million or something. They're just not going to. It's not going to happen. The exception to that possibly would be, say, Matt Campbell at Iowa State. But Iowa State would want to be careful there, because if it becomes obvious to them that Matt Campbell wants to leave, like Kirk Herbstreit, for example, and I'm not one to argue with him because he knows it thousands times better than I do, says he's leaving. Well, if it becomes obvious that Matt Campbell wants to leave and you're Iowa State, there does come a moment where you have to say, it's probably not in our best long-term interest to be sticklers to the contract here, because we want to hire the next young hotshot, and he's not going to come if he sees that we'll trap him in Ames.
Yes. I mean, to me, it all comes down to when a guy's ready to leave, unless you have Urban Meyer walking through the doors. And by the way, I really like Matt Campbell. I think the guy is going to be a good football coach, but I don't think that that is a football coach that you cannot find somewhere else.
Oh, I agree.
Let him walk. People get too freaking attached to the coach. Like, it's just, when a guy wants, it's the same thing. When you are not fully committed in anything in life, eventually you start kind of phoning it in.
Here's a better example. If you're dating a supermodel and you take that supermodel out to dinner in a public place a few times, guess who's going to suddenly be attracted to you? Other supermodels.
Other supermodels. It's my theory of every guy is just one pin away from being the guy who dates tens. The hardest part is getting the first 10.
Well, I think a philosophy, if you had it to do over again, is even if the 10 wasn't interested in you, like physically, sexually, romantically, say, hey, will you go out with me a couple of times? I'll be nothing but cool to you. I need to be seen with you, because that's going to give me a chance with another one.
Yes.
Take her out to a really nice Salt dinner Lake. And be just awesome to her and say, look, I understand there's no chance of anything happening tonight, but I need to be seen. All right.
They crave approval.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's might be what I would do. Vanderbilt plus 7 at South Carolina. I've got South Carolina winning by 13. You've got South Carolina winning by 11. Chase has South Carolina winning by 15. We all like the Gamecocks covering the line.
Yes. I mean, Vanderbilt in their last 10 road SEC games is 1-9 against the spread. And Vanderbilt is just – they're one of those teams that, man, I don't know who got hurt or what, but, I mean, that is not the same football team that we saw the first 3 weeks of the season.
No, they're aggressively bad. They're aggressively bad.
Yes.
Missouri minus 12 at Connecticut. I've got Missouri winning by 17. You've got Missouri winning by 21. Chase has Missouri winning by 21. Connecticut is awful in pass coverage. Drew Locke's pretty good, and people talk about Drew Locke right now. People starting to talk about him as a first-round pick. It shows you how desperate the NFL is for quarterbacks because he's not good against quality SEC opponents, but he lights up bad defenses.
Yeah, there are only – if I were an NFL team, there are only two quarterbacks that I'd consider in the first round.
Sam Darnold and
Josh Rosen, and the other is Baker Mayfield. Nope. I think Sam Darnold stinks, actually. Like, legitimately stinks. I think he is so overrated.
His stock has fallen this year for sure.
Yeah, I never fell for the Sam Darnold trap. I would take Rosen would be the guy that I would take one, and then Mayfield would be the guy that I would also take. And people can laugh all they want, but you cannot laugh at the fact that he's the most accurate passer on deep balls, the most accurate passer on intermediate balls, and the most accurate passer on short balls. What's the one thing that translates to that league?
The intermediate stuff and being able to throw the ball down the field and stretch.
Accuracy.
Yeah.
It's the same reason why if I'm a Houston fan, I'm still a little apprehensive about Deshaun Watson because he's not tremendously accurate right now. And that doesn't – I've never really seen a quarterback truly go from an inaccurate thrower to an accurate thrower.
All right, Mississippi State, here's our one difference. Mississippi State giving a point at Texas A&M. I've got A&M winning by one. You've got A&M winning by three. Our boy Parham, who loves his Bulldogs, has Mississippi State winning by 3 points. I'll be honest, as much as I'd love to pick on Chase here, this is the one I really struggled with. I almost took Mississippi State.
Wouldn't you have felt better? Like, it is weird. Wouldn't you have felt better if A&M were favored by, like, three? Like, wouldn't you have had an easier – for whatever reason, I would have had an easier time picking A&M if they would have been favored by, like, three.
I was just thinking about that when you asked. Yes, the line confused me. The line threw me off. If Vegas's goal was to trick a little bit here, I think they did it.
Yeah, I mean, but you see the computers, and the computers like Mississippi State in this game. For me, what it comes down to is – typically, after Mississippi State has had an outstanding showing, usually the next week it is not an outstanding showing. And A&M is athletic up front. They're not great at stopping the run, but they're good. They're solid at stopping the run. And for me, it's give me the home team and give me the fact that Mississippi State – usually doesn't put it together after back-to-back dynamite performances.
Well, it'll be the one interesting one. He's either going to catch me and gain a game on you, or we're going to pull away from him a little bit right there because you and I are exactly alike all week. Last one, Tennessee plus +5 at Kentucky. John Kelly is out. He, as I wrote, he was arrested for being a life champion in possession of marijuana. I've got Kentucky winning by 8. You've got Kentucky winning by 7. Chase has Kentucky winning by 7.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this truly is an unstoppable force coming up against an immovable object. Kentucky's ability to actually deliver on something is the unstoppable force. And then the immovable object is just whatever Tennessee is this year, which is just an absolute, like, it's a dumpster fire's dumpster fire. Like, it's just – it's unbelievable to me. I know your point of view. I am surprised that they're letting Butch Jones continue to coach because every time he opens his mouth, Neil, he's just such an embarrassment. Like, that's not what I would want to be a representative with my university. At this point, I would be so sick of it that I just would not – I would be at the point where I would not – ever want him to be associated with me anymore.
No, they're doing the right thing, though. They're letting him be the one that twists in the wind. Let him go lose these games. Don't breathe new life into the program for a month. Fans are too emotional. Look at – I'm not. This is not directed at Matt Luke. Because Matt – I think Matt's done a really, really good job of keeping the program level, and he's done nothing whatsoever to do anything to embarrass the program. He inherited an embarrassing situation and has handled it with a lot of grace. I think Ole Miss should go with an experienced head coach moving forward. Don't get me wrong. I'm not endorsing Matt Luke. But look at when Ole Miss beats Vanderbilt. That drum beat starts up. People love the familiar.
It was amazing how fast it was, too.
It is. And at Tennessee, if you they're done with Butch. So Butch could win a couple of games, and people still want Butch out. But if you bring in, say, Brady Hoke, and he has a couple of really good press conferences and wins a few games, all of a sudden, you know how it works.
Especially now that this narrative is developing that Harbaugh, through the same amount of games, has the exact same record as Brady Hoke had at Michigan.
Yeah, you got to be careful, and that's why I think I'll give Tennessee credit. I don't know whether they're doing it because they're smart or they're doing it because they're stupid, but they're letting him.
I think John Curry's doing it because he's scared. He doesn't want to make a decision.
Well, that could be it. In this case, fear turns out to be a friend to him, because let Butch finish it. It's bad. It's over. Let him finish it. And if they happen to get to 6 wins, then you let Brady Hoke coach the bowl game. But you hire another coach.
If Auburn and Tennessee are open at the exact same time, what does the coaching community think is the better job?
It's a great question. I've said this all along, and I have a soft spot for Auburn. I covered it for 6 years. I used to have a path that I ran on the campus that I liked. I love their pregame. I like a whole lot of people there. But when Georgia's going great and Alabama's going great, Auburn gets squeezed. On the flip side, there's more talent around Auburn than there is around Knoxville. And all of the things that made Tennessee great 20 years ago really don't exist anymore. The playing field's been leveled.
And South Carolina not only is South Carolina competent at football, Clemson's a national power, so you can't go over there and get players anymore. They can't go into North Carolina like they used to. Kentucky and Vanderbilt are competent as a football program now. And when Tennessee had their heyday, Georgia and Alabama were at program lows. And now both of those are the two elite programs in the conference.
Yeah, I agree. We'll talk about this in the Beer Garden. We'll get into a lot of things. We'll talk
We'll talk
about a number of topics when we get you on. So I'll look forward to doing that later today. Thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, talk to you later.
Thanks to Jeffrey for joining us every Thursday morning. Today's podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You can local underwriting and understand your market. Underrated deal there is where the leader in condo financing in Oxford. So get the flow down option. Allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704. JLO, that's JLOWE, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. People are starting to turn their heaters on. You're going to get that smoky smell and that kind of thing. Don't run the risk. Get Comer Heating and Air. Come out. Check it out. Even if they're not the ones that installed it, they will take a look at it. Their work's second to none. They can work on any make or model, residential or commercial. You get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their site, comerheatingandair.com. Check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric. 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, no 5-minute wait. OUB offering 1-year CDs, 1.75% APY, 3-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the 3-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's 3-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And last but not least, the podcast brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor. He specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. He's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Look him up on the site, gotland.com, got-land.com. If you're a buyer, Michael Oswalt has the biggest land inventory in Mississippi. If you're thinking about selling, if you're on the fence, if it's in your future, Michael will come to your home, tell you what he does, market your property, get it sold for you. The market's hot. He'll do what it takes. Drone videos, whatever needs to be done, he'll put his money where his mouth is and get your property sold. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Three different things here in our last segment of the day. First, this Jim McElwain thing, the death threats.
Yep.
We haven't talked about it yet. Or at least you and I haven't. I don't know if
Jeffrey and I talked about it briefly, but go ahead.
I don't really, okay, whatever. McElwain spoke before probably really thinking what he was saying. And I guess maybe I'll answer this, so disregard it. That statement from the administration.
We actually did not get into that, okay, so go ahead.
Saying McElwain met with us and he provided no additional details. So McElwain meets with the Florida administration and the administration comes out publicly and says, yeah, he told us nothing more than he told you guys. Ooh.
Remember 2 weeks ago in 10 Weekend Thoughts, I wrote that Jim McElwain wants out.
You had a little birdie.
I had a little birdie.
Mm-hmm.
I had another little birdie tell me that little birdie was chirping correctly.
Okay.
Jim McElwain wants out. I think Florida wants him out. This is just frustration. Oh. These jobs, man.
Hey. You and I both think that had the world gone different a few years ago, Jim McElwain would be at Ole Miss right
and
now.
I think he would have been a much better fit at Ole Miss than he is at Florida.
Well, you know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Would he become a candidate now?
Ooh. I am embarrassed to admit that I have not thought about that. That's embarrassing. Man, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's like one of those deals where you'd love to sit down and have an honest, like, conversation with the Ross Bjorks of the world. How do you view his success at Florida? They went to 2 SEC championship games.
Yeah.
And they're not awful now.
They're very average.
Narrow losses to LSU, to Texas A&M. They could easily have a much better record.
Yeah.
But it's not a fit for numerous reasons. Would he be
And he's shown himself to be hypersensitive and a little strange.
Well, I think the majority of football coaches are a little strange, but I do know what you mean. I know exactly what you
relative
mean.
Relative to other football coaches.
It's what I was going to say a minute ago is, hey, Scott Frost, if you're listening. Mike Norvell, if you're listening. This is really hard for coaches. I can remember saying this to Houston Nutt one day. When he got so sensitive and I said to him, you wanted to coach at LSU? You'd go crazy. Scott Frost, Mike Norvell, Matt Campbell, all these people. Ask yourselves, be honest. If your wife's honest with you, get her to be honest. If she's not honest with you, go find other people who will be honest with you. Look yourself in the mirror. Like when you step out of the shower and it's just you, and you have that, you just you and a towel wrapped around your waist, and you're looking into the foggy mirror, ask yourself, What do I want? I know everyone wants to win championships. Hell, I'm not even in coaching and I want to win a championship. Can you handle snarky criticism? Because Florida is full of guys. It's very competitive. The beat's very competitive. You have to set yourself apart. They still have newspapers. They still have columnists. And when you lose, they overreact.
And you potentially have a fan base that is... Andy Staples used the word spoiled.
Yes.
He called it the most spoiled fan base in America.
Yes. Spurrier won. Urban Meyer won. Why can't this guy win? And they... Come on, Florida, man. Floridians are crazy. I hate the state. I don't like going there. They're like, oh, yeah. I mean, look at Mike Bianchi. Mike Bianchi writes that because the majority of Floridians agree with it. Yeah, why would you want to go to Mississippi? Backwards ass, blah, blah, blah. You could be in Florida where the sun shines all the time and everything's gleamy and shiny and pretty and that. That's their attitude. They don't understand why they're not dominating. There are things about the Florida job that are great. If you win, they put you on this giant pedestal and worship at your feet. And everybody loves that. But if you don't win, they start taking machetes to your knees.
Yeah.
And so... I don't know. It's he wants out. He's getting out. The Dan Mullen thing is fascinating. Is that who Scott Strickland hires? See, here's my philosophy on that. The reason I don't think he will, and if I'm wrong, I'll buy you a beer. I'll buy you a Sazerac at your place of choice. Right. I don't think this applies to Ross Bjork too. It's not an insult. It's not an insult. Because I think I would be this way if I were the AD too. I'm not going to hire somebody that I hire and everybody goes, well, anyone could have hired him.
Also, there's something about hiring a guy you've previously worked with.
Yeah. Well, if you're Scott Strickland and you hire Dan Mullen, what's the reaction going to be? That dude doesn't know anybody. He hired the one guy he knows. They start picking apart Mullen's record.
1-9 against teams that finished in the top 25 the last two years.
And then point out that won't get it done at Florida. That won't get you extended at Florida. That'll get your ass fired. I mean, you know, what are we going to write if they hire – it's not fair if they hire Morris here. Anyone could have done that. He just knew him through Tui. Is that fair? No. Is it accurate? Probably not. That's what people are going to say.
Yeah.
It's perception you'll have to overcome. Doesn't mean that. Now, look, if you're Ross Bjork and you think Morris is the right guy and you're convinced he's the guy, you don't not do it because of what the media is going to say.
Right. The right guy is the right guy.
The right guy is the right guy. You hire the right guy. You don't worry about what stupid Neil McCready says.
Yeah. When he wins 8 games, they're both shut up.
Yeah. But you understand when you hire that guy, if he doesn't work, the criticism, whether it's fair or not, part of it's going to be, why'd they hire him? Of all the people they could have hired. And then my other point, and I made it with Jeffrey, so I'll make it quickly here so that you can react to it. I'm tired of people talking about buyouts like they're hard, concrete numbers. I use the guy at Iowa State as an example.
Okay.
Let's say the buyout's $9 million.
Okay.
Campbell. Okay.
All right.
If Campbell starts saying publicly that he wants out, lets it leak out that he wants out, that he wants the job at fill in the blank state. Let's Tennessee. Tennessee. He wants to take Tennessee job.
Okay.
Iowa State's got to be careful about being a stickler on the buyout. If you're a stickler on the buyout, all of a sudden you can't get the next hot coach because he doesn't want to get stuck in Ames if he wants to go.
Most buyouts also are over a very long period of time and then can be price down with lump sums.
Yeah.
So they're manageable from that aspect. Now, so, but it's both things. It's a lot of money, and now you are going to have to pay a lot of money.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's not necessarily 14.8 the day he walks out the door.
Right. Right. It's not how it works. So when people say, well, that's going to be – you can't do that because that's $10 million.
Yeah, but
– it's a factor – but that if you want to get it done, if both parties want to get it done, if Campbell wants to go to Tennessee and Tennessee wants Campbell,
it'll get done.
Iowa State's not going to make him stay at a place he doesn't want to stay.
Good luck recruiting with that situation.
Yeah, it's over at that point. So you negotiate something that's amenable for everyone.
All right, two things here.
Maybe Tennessee, you know, something like this. Maybe Tennessee has to come to Ames in 2024.
That's been done in things, yeah.
Stuff like that.
All right, two things. One, don't really want to get off on this. I guess it's a good thing that they're bringing it back, even though I hate the middle ground of it. Blessing School System's bringing the book back into play. To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're aware.
Yes.
Here's the caveat.
Oh, God. Why are you doing this to me this morning?
I'm moving on to something else in a second.
Okay.
Students will have to return a permission slip signed by their parents in order to learn about it in their English class. If a student opts out, they will read another book and follow an alternate lesson plan, according to the Sun Herald. So they get the choice. Can we move on now?
It's so stupid.
Can we move on?
You know, sometimes literature is supposed to be uncomfortable. It's supposed to make you think. It's supposed to challenge you, move you, make you contemplate.
Give you some sort of internal experience.
Yeah, where you put yourself in the shoes of someone that you can't put yourself in their shoes because you're not them.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been reading Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah.
And holy God, what a remarkable life. And so you sometimes can put yourself in his shoes. But I have this fear that, and I'm 47, so it doesn't matter for me personally, because I mean I'll be dead by the time it all gets sorted out. But I have this real fear for like my grandchildren, your grandchildren, that we're going to rewrite history and make it something that it wasn't. We're going to eliminate works of literature because they were written in an era that is different than the era in which they are read. That in this overriding fear that we're going to make someone uncomfortable, we're going to prevent people from having experiences that would be cathartic. There are people that read books that the books change their lives, move them. I'll give you an example. And the Mountains Echoed by Khaled Hosseini. I read that book and sobbed. Changed completely the way I thought about like Afghanistan. Completely changed my perspective. And yes, it made me uncomfortable. It's okay. To Kill a Mockingbird is a book that needs to, people need to read it.
Yeah.
So what happens with the permission slip? Kid goes home, I don't want to read that book, Mom. All right, well, what's the alternative? Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? I mean, what is the, just, sometimes in school.
Yeah, I don't know what they're using as the alternative to, quote, teach the same lesson. I have no idea.
There's no chance.
Yeah, I have no idea.
You're going to be exposed to things, to, part of, I mean, when you go to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to work, there's not everybody in your place of work is going to be a Christian. Not everybody in your place of work is going to be the same race as you, the same sex as you, the same sexuality as you, the same ethnicity, whatever.
Ethnicity.
But you have to work with them. You have to get along with them. You have to be able to relate to them in some form, shape, fashion. We're taking that away. It's just, I don't know. Anyway, in the attempt to not offend, I'd have been better off if I just sighed. Go ahead.
All right, last thing here. This popped up, and I've heard about this guy a little bit. I've heard a little bit about his products in time. The guy that founded Bulletproof Coffee, Dave Asprey.
Okay, I know nothing about this.
You don't know anything about Bulletproof Coffee?
I don't.
All right. Like, Corolla and Dr. Drew and them, they always promote coconut oil in your coffee. It's a great, does a lot of things. Metabolism helps things, they say.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And for the most part, Drew's not one to just promote a product because he's so medically whatever, he's got to kind of believe in it a little bit.
He's pretty sharp.
Yeah. Takes it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bulletproof Coffee is kind of a play on that. Bulletproof Coffee is, it's a blended drink with coffee, unsalted butter,
okay,
and then their version of coconut oil. And you drink it in the morning and whatever.
Okay.
Supposedly helps you out, makes you healthy, all this stuff. Don't know, haven't tried it.
Okay.
Because it's like a huge number of calories because of the butter, but it's your breakfast for the most part.
Okay.
Well, this guy says that he wants to live to be 180 years old or more.
Why?
Dave Asprey.
Okay.
He spent $300,000 on research trying to do so to optimize his mind and body.
Okay.
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 Smart dude, but he has a goal. He believes that small daily choices lead up to this ambitious goal. It would be ambitious. It's called the biohacking movement, where you do certain things to try to gradually increase your quality, your lifespan. Okay?
Okay.
His daily routine. My question with this is, if this is what you're doing to maintain that, are you really having a quality of life necessary to want to live to be 180 years old? You know what I mean?
Okay, take me through the routine.
All right. When he goes to bed at night, he turns his phone on airplane mode, and he keeps it that way until he drops two kids off at school in the morning.
Okay.
Which is impressive enough for a CEO and entrepreneur and all that stuff.
Okay.
He says your nervous system's watching out for alerts. When your phone is on, you're getting electromagnetic frequencies that you don't need. So when he wakes up, he makes the Bulletproof Coffee for everybody in the family and gets it to him for breakfast.
Okay.
Then, in his morning routine, he picks a biohacking practice to work on, including lying underneath an ultraviolet light. He says that slows down aging. Standing on bio-vibration platforms, which vibrate 30 times a second, which he says burns calories, or standing inside his cryotherapy chamber that spews 260-degree nitrogen ice. You believe in that?
I do.
For about 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right. During the workday, he leaves everything up to an assistant for the most part. They completely do his schedules, and he does nothing except for major decisions within his companies.
Okay.
Everybody else rearranges his entire day for him completely.
Okay.
All right.
So does not waste time.
He does not have to memorize a calendar, nothing. He executes whatever someone else puts in front of him.
Gotcha.
That is it.
Okay.
All right. He also believes, obviously, exercises to push your body to grow and change. So he works out intensely once a week, but then he does something different every day to mix it up. His more intense workouts include heavy weightlifting, sprints, and pedaling on his customized exercise bike for short periods of time. His bike is connected to an oxygen mask, which feeds him varied amounts of oxygen during a 15-minute workout. It's really intense because you're exercising without enough oxygen, and then you're exercising with tons of oxygen, and it goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Okay.
Which seems a little weird.
Okay.
He, strict diet, obviously. He says there's no snacks. That if you snack, you did something wrong on your last meal because you shouldn't need one.
Okay. First time I ever heard that.
His diet features lots of vegetables and little gluten, sugar, legumes, or dairy. At lunch, he fills his plate with veggies, which he picks from his own organic farm.
Okay.
An avocado or a salad with carrots and fennel, featuring a homemade dressing with avocado, olive oil, herbs, and whatever that octane oil stuff he uses in the coconut stuff.
Okay.
For dinner, he eats a plate of veggies plus exactly 4 ounces of meat and a starch like rice, sweet potato, or squash. On an average night, he sleeps 6 hours and 2 minutes.
So you skipped the part where he had a cocktail.
Yeah. There's no cab in this story.
If you live to be 180 and you never get to have a glass of red wine, is that really?
He says healthy people need less sleep. It's about sleeping less. It's not about sleeping less. It's about getting higher quality of sleep and having more resilience.
See, I've heard Dr. Drew say that sleep is the single most critical thing.
Yeah, between 6 to 7 hours minimum.
That you need that sleep.
Your he thinks body, about 7 hours is right.
Yeah. Anything less than that and you start becoming deficient.
To achieve the best sleep possible, he blacks out his room with curtains that don't let street lights in.
Okay.
He also invested in a blah, 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 blah. He's got a also something that measures air quality. He says low air quality disrupts sleep. And he lies on a sleep induction mat for 3 minutes before bed.
Who doesn't?
The mat is similar to acupuncture, except needles don't puncture the skin. The device has spikes that push on pressure points in the back. Right before he goes to bed, he cools his house to 68 degrees, which he believes is the optimal temperature for sleep.
I'm with him there.
Yeah, I'm good there. Actually, most people say 65, but he goes with 68.
We turn ours 68 at night, and I would turn it lower if ours was not a democracy.
So then he talks about some other mental things he does, but it's not really that anything he does is that drastic, but it's just that every day you're so focused on this routine.
Yeah, I would not want to live like that.
Yeah, there's nothing in there that makes you go, oh, I can never do that one particular thing.
Right, sure. There's nothing that's outrageous. It's just the combination
of all
of it.
There are crazier people out there with what they do to try to maintain whatever.
Yeah, sure.
But every day,
I got to be a little more laid back than that.
I did Amazon search the sleep induction mat because I was curious what it looked like after reading this. It's just a little mat with a bunch of pins on the back. Just little knobs.
Probably works.
They say that it hurts at first, but once you kind of get used to it, it puts you into relax.
It's like those roller bars. If you'll ever let yourself get in 5-10 minutes into one of those deals, it's like getting a massage, but it hurts so bad at the beginning. The ones that have the spikes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so hard to go, yeah, I'm going to do this to my legs and my back and my glutes and my calves for 15-20 minutes so that I can then go run.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Dave Asprey, the creator, inventor, or whatever of Bulletproof Coffee. So anyway, thanks to Jeffrey for joining us. Be back with Ryan Brown tomorrow on the show here on the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Check RebelGrub.com for our content. In the meantime, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.